Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the September 19th, 2024 meeting of Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also being made available telephonically for access by the public. Val Lingasamy, Assistant Director of IT, will provide information on this.
Thank you, Kara. Good morning. This is Val Lingasamy, Assistant Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the RI Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask telephone participants to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties, with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1430. Thank you.
Thank you, Val. Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel. This morning's meeting will serve as the annual meeting of the Board of Commissioners of RI Housing. Members of the public can visit the RI Housing website to view today's agenda and information and documents on each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference portion is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chairman Stephen Pryor will preside at this morning's meeting. Commissioners and staff, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference. With that, I will turn it over to the chair to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Hi, this is Stephen Pryor. I'm calling the meeting to order. Our time is 9:37 a.m. I'm going to ask Carol to go ahead and conduct the roll, if you would.
Certainly. Commissioner McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Orth.
Here.
Commissioner Womer.
Here.
Commissioner Pryor.
Here.
Commissioner DeSoto. Commissioner Designee Clipperall.
Here.
Chairman.
I'm going to introduce item one, which is approval of the minutes. This is for August 15th. I've asked commissioners to take a new look at the minutes, see if you have any edits. And when you're ready, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second, Steve.
Made and seconded. One more shot at edits or questions. Hearing none, Corey, would you conduct the vote, please?
Yes. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on August 15th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote and the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Just want to make a note as we begin this meeting that for those in the audience and on the phone, we do have a series of meetings today. Just to avoid any confusion, we have the full board meeting and then we have a series of affiliated corporations that have meetings. We will do these in sequence. So we will get through that business today and we'll explain as we go. Having said that, I want to turn to item three and ask Carol to conduct her review of recent activities and trends. Please present when you're ready.
Thank you, Chairman. As of August 31st, we funded over 1,000 first mortgage loans on $402 million in volume. We're projecting production of 1,300 units this year. Hopefully, those estimates will hold up through the fall, and I'm hoping that the Fed rate cuts will help as well, driving business. Delinquency is ticking up a little bit. In August, overall delinquency is up over July at 12.4%, you may recall. In July, overall delinquency was 12.05%. Beginning on page 2 of the report, we've summarized and provided a number of charts and graphs on the SFRF dollars. We've committed and expended 96% of the funding provided to us for development programs, and we expect to commit the balance of available funds as part of the October funding round. On page 3 of the report, the team has provided information on project status. 4 developments are complete, 4 have received firm commitments, 17 deals have preliminary approval of financing, and 14 projects are under construction. And in addition to the multifamily rental activity in Ann's area, the staff has also closed 7 homeownership production transactions that will result in 26 homeownership units. The FSF team is going to hold a graduation. They're graduating 10 families who have completed the five-year program, and we hope to hold this event in collaboration with the Providence Housing Authority. They're similarly graduating 10 families. So 20 families graduating out of FSF. And there was a networking event that was held on the 17th to encourage more landlord participation in our Housing Choice Voucher program. This is critical for us, as it's very difficult for folks right now to find rental apartments. So they held an engagement process, and I think four new landlords, are committed to participating in the program. We had a great event with the Armory Revival Company and the governor at the Bourne Mill in Tiverton. This is the last build-out at this site of 59-unit rental with the Armory Company. And there's other events that we've outlined for you that I'm happy to answer questions on. And lastly, Kara provided information on our ratio. Jim.
Questions, commissioners?
Kara, I've noticed the loan to assets has been essentially been going down. It's not necessarily that thing, I guess. And is that because we're securitizing a lot of our loans?
Yes, this is Kara. Because we are securitizing our loans, they're not at risk from the rating agency's standpoint. So even though our loan to asset ratio has decreased, the assets that we're adding to our balance sheet are very, they're not risk-free, nothing is risk-free, but very low risk.
I know there's a cost, obviously, for that. Is there some target threshold you're looking at?
So it's 6 basis points is the cost to securitize a loan, which we feel is well worth the benefit that we're receiving, that if the loan does go bad, we will be reimbursed by the insurance that is on that loan.
Okay, so the cost of 6 basis points, you're not concerned that we're getting too much?
No. And having securitized loans in our bond resolution just improves the overall resolution, and investors look for that as well.
Carol, with the interest rate move of yesterday at the Fed, it's extraordinarily early to say what the implications will be, but was there anything that was already underway, Carol, James, Ann, in anticipation of that in any of our transactions? Any implications yet?
No. And Peter, most importantly, on the single family side, what are you hearing? Anything?
So, obviously we would like long-term rates to come down.
Yeah.
Be careful what you wish for. However, if rates do come down, you can see the lines longer at the open houses and more competition.
For inventory.
More difficult for our first-time home buyer to get their offer accepted. So
absolutely true.
We're keeping an eye on it. But rates have come down nicely, and if we could get a 5-handle in the equation, we'd be very happy.
Mm-hmm. And I think it will take a bit of time on U.S. side to see any movement at all.
Sure. Anything else, commissioners? On to item four. Item four is election of vice chair of the Board of Commissioners. The board provides that office of the corporation consists of a chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer. The chair is designated by the governor. The executive director serves as secretary. The position of vice chair is elected by the Board of Commissioners from among its members. In the past, we've had the director of administration serve in such capacity. For example, Jim Thorson, as you may recall, was elected by the members. And the position has been vacant since he departed service. So at this time, I'd like to request nominations for the vice chairperson position.
I'll make a nomination for Mr. Wolin.
Sure, that's an outstanding idea. Is there a second?
Second.
It moved and seconded. Are there any comments, including by the director of administration? It's the last chance you have to escape.
Since you showed up for every meeting in the last year since I've been vice chair, I'd be happy to serve in the future.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your partnership all the way through at every step. The motion is properly made and seconded. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the vote?
Yes, all those in favor of electing Director Jonathan Wolmer as Vice Chair of the Board of Commissioners, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 5 affirmative votes, we have been motions approved. Thank you.
On to action 5, revised firm approval of financing for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1 Providence. Anne, would you please present?
Good morning. This is Anne Berman. So this request is for a revised firm approval for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1. Specifically, we're requesting an increase in the tax-exempt loan from $12.3 million to $13.3 million. All other financing, including the permanent loan amount, remains unchanged. You may recall that the development received firm approval in April of this year. And we are barreling toward closing except for this one issue. At the time of firm approval, the borrower's purchase price was based on an appraisal that was completed in 2023, and it was for $9 million. That's when the original P&S was negotiated. A year later, we commissioned our appraisal, and the as-is value was $13 million, mostly due to increased voucher rents. So as the transaction was nearing closing and the tax attorney started to look at the deal, they basically saw a tax issue because of the disconnect between the $9 million and the $13 million. I mean, we look at that as a good thing, right? They're getting it for less money, but the tax attorneys had a different opinion. So basically, we've had to increase the acquisition price, which made the project fail the 50% test. So with the new increase up to $13.3 million, we passed the 50% test at slightly less than 53%, and everything else remains the same. We are expecting closing to occur in the next couple of weeks, and construction is expected to take about 14 months. So happy to answer any questions.
Properly been brought through credit committee. Any questions? Any comments, Chair?
I would just add, Anne, that this change does not affect the underlying risk of the loans that we're making or the anticipated performance of the property.
It does not. The permanent mortgage remains unchanged, and the underwriting continues to be strong.
Comments or questions, Commissioners? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Second.
Second by the Treasurer, second by the Chair. One more shot. Question.
Corey, would you
please conduct the vote?
All those in favor of revised firm approval of financing for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1 located in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote and the motion is approved. Thank you.
Action 6, preliminary approval of financing for the Flynn, formerly Copley Center, and once again, Anne's going to present.
Thank you, Dan Berman. So this RFA is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt loan in the amount of $38 million and a capital magnet fund loan of $999,000 for the Flynn. The developer is Marathon Construction and Development, and they recently completed Copley 2 and 3, and I will note that Harry and Franklin Angevine of Marathon are here.
Welcome.
The Flynn is new construction. It's 178 units. That will also include approximately 10,000 square feet of ground floor commercial, which will be occupied by Children's Friend. They intend to establish a Head Start facility for child care for both residents as well as the broader community. And I will note that this is the third time Children's Friends has worked with one of our developers to create a child care facility in a LIHTC development. So that's a great and exciting partnership. All 178 units are going to be LIHTC, and 71% of the units are 2- and 3-bedroom units, so they're really going to cater to families. They will be utilizing average income, so we'll have a nice range of incomes from 30 to 80% of area median income. The preliminary development cost is approximately $77 million, or about $432,000 a unit. Anticipated construction, I will note that the construction loan itself is $44 million. In order to minimize the amount of tax-exempt funding that we have to allocate to the deal, there will be a what's known as a taxable tail of $6 million. So the total construction loan is $44 million. This is currently proposed as a conduit transaction, similar to the way they did Copley. Citizens Bank will provide the capital for the tax-exempt issuance. Newmark Capital will act as the DUS lender. They'll provide the permanent loan. At conversion, Freddie Mac will step in as the permanent lender, and Newmark will service the loan for them. The LIHTC syndicator is CREA, and paying 89 cents, which is kind of where the market is going these days. It's below 90 cents. CREA's investors are Citizens and Aetna CVS, and as we noted at the credit committee, this is CVS's first LIHTC investment in Rhode Island, so we're really excited about that. We do note that the city has approved $8 million for the project, and our final approval, as well as the approvals of the other lenders, is dependent on a variety of things, including the award of state LIHTC from the Department of Housing, and we talked. Those rules are still being promulgated, and our expectation is that in October, the Department of Housing will release a RFP. We have seen a number of proposals come through seeking state LIHTC. So in conclusion, we are looking for preliminary approval of $38 million of tax-exempt financing and $999,000 of capital magnet fund for the thing. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions? And in committee, we talked a little bit about being below the 90-cent mark on credit. Do you want to say anything more about where that market is at?
Sure. And interestingly, the development folks from the New England HFAs all gathered on Monday, and other than the Boston market, we're actually doing better than a lot of the other New England states, which are in the, 80s, and in some cases, depending on location, I mean, if you're up in parts of Maine, you're getting, in the low 80s. So 89 cents is not bad. We've seen 88 cents on a couple of other deals. So I think stay tuned. If I had a crystal ball, I'd be a lot happier. I don't know where they're going to go, but I don't think they're going to go up.
Questions, commissioners? Hearing none, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a
second? Jonathan Wilmer.
Questions? Hearing none, Corey, is left the vote.
All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Lynn, formerly known as Copley Center, located in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. I think we have all six voting in favor, and the motion is approved. Thank you.
Congratulations to the development team. Board Action 7, approval of prepayment for Woodford Village Realty. And once again, Ann,
to you. Good morning. This is Ann Furman. So this is an administrative action. We are seeking prepayment of the existing first mortgage for Wickford Village, which is a 129-unit Section 8 development located in North Kingstown. The owner of the development is Wickford Village Realty LP. They intend to refinance their property with Walker Dudlaw under a Fannie Mae program. The first mortgage balance is approximately $7 million. I will note there are also two AHT loans on the property, which will also be repaid. The owner intends to undertake about $3 million of repairs. They will also execute a revised regulatory agreement with us to make sure that the affordability remains in place, and as part of this, it will be extended. There is a prepayment fee of approximately $958,000. First mortgage repayment is $7 million. The AHT repayments is about $2.5 million. Everything else in the development remains the same. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
This is Kevin Morris. Just a comment. We talked about this in credit committee. I know a whole team tried to save this loan and keep it in our portfolio. It's one we definitely would want to have. and there were a variety of factors, I think, that went into the borrower's decision here. I just wonder about the FFB program, if there's some, I don't know, maybe tweak to that that could make us a little bit more competitive. And again, we're not going to win every deal, but can we go to maybe a 10-year kind of prepay lockout instead of a 15, or any other modification that you can think is kind of going forward just to maybe make us a little bit more competitive?
Sure. Well, we can have a conversation with the finance team and see if there's something we can do.
Okay.
We're looking at that right now.
Okay.
We're evaluating how we and what others are doing.
Yeah.
Pretty competitive compared to other agencies, too. We are evaluating.
Okay. Good.
Right ahead of you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I move to approve.
Kevin moves. Any second?
Second is Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions? Hearing none. Corey, would you please conduct the vote?
Yes. All those in favor of approving a prepayment for Wickford Village Realty LP as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion is approved. Thank you.
On to action 8, approval of engagement of post-closing quality control vendor. And Brett, are you going to conduct this?
This is Brett Pelletier, Rhode Island Housing Chief Administrative Officer. As discussed in the management committee, we are requesting approval to engage Tenna Companies as a post-closing quality control vendor to do post-closing audits of the loans, to do a collection of them. Went through an RFP process. We had 3 submissions which were evaluated by staff, the result of which is the recommendation that we engage Tenna Companies, which is a service provider we have existing relationships with and have 2 other contracts we are happy with, and they do a good job, and they were competitive in their response. And the response meets all of the our partners' requirements, our internal requirements, the 3-year engagement with the cost not to exceed $100,000 per year, and I am happy to answer the question.
Thank you, Brett.
Brett, can you remind us who was undertaking this work previously?
Tenna was.
Okay.
Sorry.
Great. And how was their work?
We're very happy. Quality Control likes their work. Peter is nodding his head in the affirmative to indicate that as well. They were a small shop for a lot of the quality control and audit functions, so they've been very helpful in giving us kind of concierge service, which we appreciate. And one of the reasons that we're not super competitive to parse this out is the contract is a small quality.
I have a quick question. Fred, how many audits do they do? Is it 10% of our loans? They're doing about 100, 150 audits, something like that?
That's about right.
About $1,500 an audit or $2,000 an audit or something like that? Okay. Seems reasonable. Okay.
Other questions?
Motion to approve. This is
motion. Is there a second?
Second is Steve.
Seconded by Steve.
Other questions?
All those in favor of approving the engagement of a post-closing quality control vendor, namely Tenna Companies, Inc., please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 votes in the affirmative. The motion is approved.
All right, this item will come to this is the approval, action item 9, approval of engagement of outside legal counsel for multiple areas, corporate and litigation. Corey, would you please explain?
Happy to. This is Corinne Myers speaking. As the commissioners may be aware, Rhode Island Housing's typical business procedure is to go out for bid for outside legal counsel approximately every 3 to 5 years. We're now approaching the turnover of a number of our existing engagement agreements for outside legal services. That date will come up in November, and we have undertaken to solicit proposals from firms from across a number of areas of representation. Today, you'll be reviewing staff recommendations pursuant to two of those solicitations, the first covering outside corporate legal counsel and litigation services. That includes labor and employment, foreclosure, eviction, bankruptcy, and mortgage servicing litigation. And the second, which arises later in the agenda, involves public finance. These recommendations have been reviewed by and discussed with the management committee earlier this month. We received 9 proposals for corporate and litigation counsel. The proposals were evaluated for completeness and then reviewed by a selection committee drawn from employees across the agency using the scoring criteria set forth in the RFP. Based on our current business needs, we are proposing to engage 7 of the firms. All of the firms being proposed have a local presence and some history with RI Housing and its lines of business. The firms that we are requesting approval to engage are set forth in your materials, and I will run you through them. For corporate and corporate governance, we're proposing to engage Nixon Peabody LLP. For general litigation, Adler, Pollock & Sheehan, Locke Lord, Nixon Peabody, Roberts, Carroll, Feldstein, and Pierce. For labor and employment, we are proposing to engage Littler Mendelson and Nixon Peabody. For bankruptcy, creditors' rights, foreclosure, and evictions, we're proposing to engage Hinshaw and Culbertson, LLP, Leonardo and Fort and Trudeau, Roberts, Carroll, Feldstein, and Pierce. For mortgage, banking, and finance, for example, legal issues relating to origination, acquisition, and servicing of loans, we're proposing to engage Locke Lord and Roberts, Carroll, Feldstein, and Pierce. Tax lien foreclosures, for which we have a relatively low volume right now, we're proposing to engage just one, and that's Leonardo, Ford, and Trudeau. The firms will be engaged in keeping with their proposed pricing. We've obtained certifications from each of the firms that their pricing is best available pricing for their public sector clients, which is a requirement of the State Purchases Act. One special note, next year, Locke Lord's merging with another national law firm, Troutman Pepper. They will become Troutman Pepper Locke, so the action before you reflects that the Locke Lord engagement can be assumed by that new firm. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Questions?
Motion, Chair.
Treasurer makes the motion. Is there a second?
Second, Jonathan.
By Jonathan. Questions? Hearing none, Corey, would you conduct the vote on your item?
Very happy to. All those in favor of approving the engagement of outside legal counsel for multiple areas, corporate and litigation, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have another unanimous motion approved. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Corey. Board Action 10, which is approval of amendment to engagement of consultant for housing-related research, analysis, and reporting services. This is regarding Mullen and Lonergan Associates. And I'm going to ask Amy Renone to present, if you would, Amy.
Thank you. This is Amy Renone speaking. At the December 2023 meeting, the board had approved the consultant Mullen and Lonergan to assist Rhode Island Housing in the development of the state consolidated plan and the fair housing plan. At the time, HUD was in the process of revamping their rules around that fair housing plan element to transition from an analysis of impediments to fair housing to a affirmatively furthering fair housing requirements. So we made the decision at that point to contract with them just for a fair housing plan covering Rhode Island Housing's jurisdiction, not including the state's 5 entitlement communities, since we weren't sure how those regulations were going to pan out. And so we went with that narrower jurisdiction. It became clear that HUD was not going to complete their transition to the AFFH in time for it to apply to the scope of work that we are doing. We reached out to the entitlement communities, and they expressed interest in returning to the previous format that we've done for the last couple of rounds, which is a statewide analysis of impediments to fair housing. So the consultant added an additional scope of work and priced that out. It would add an additional $49,890 to the existing scope of work. The entitlement communities unanimously agreed to pay for that additional cost. So this board action is to request an amendment to that existing contract to expand the scope of work on the Fair Housing Plan to be a statewide AI and to increase the cost of the contract to accommodate that change in scope.
Hearing none, is there a motion?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
Second, Jonathan Wilmer.
Thanks, Jonathan. Another shot of questions? Please conduct the vote.
Of course. All those in favor of approving an amendment to the engagement of a consultant for housing-related research analysis and reporting services, namely Mullen and Lonergan Estates, as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have six affirmative votes, and the motion is approved.
Thank you. I'm going to go back to Brett for this item. This is number 11, approval of engagement of HVAC contractor and electric heat pump installation for Earl Building. Brett, would you please explain?
Brett Miller here again, Chief Administrative Officer. We're requesting the approval for the engagement of an HVAC contractor, namely NextGen Mechanical, to install electric heat pump HVAC system in the Earl Building, which is the building adjacent to us here. The existing gas-fired units in that building are original to the renovation and have exceeded their useful life and are becoming problematic. For some parts that are no longer available, and this is both a preemptive installation and also one that will yield significant energy reduction and consumption. Process went through an MDA solicitation. They got two qualified submissions for evaluating the board based on number of characteristics, capacity, ability, fee structure, et cetera. And we have experience with NextGen Mechanical. We've worked in the building before. We're comfortable with that relationship. The total cost is not to exceed $1,028. $28 is coffee or whatever. And they are ready to start, and we expect it significantly. Some of you work in the Earl Building, significantly increase the livability and comfort of that space, community, and all of those. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Can you just remind us about this item before the management committee announced a couple of times what has been the change in circumstances and what you need to do this year?
We had finding a contractor.
Yes.
Finding responsive bidders to go on time and a complicated system of both ERP systems and mini splits and using the existing ductwork and not having to tear apart the building too much. So we went through a number of iterations of engineering and architectural drawings, yet these new systems to fit in our 100-plus-year-old building with a 25-plus-year-old renovation and make it work. It's out of necessity and convenience that we're doing electrification. You cannot replace like-kind gas-fired units in the spaces. The existing closets aren't large enough, so we would have had to expand them, losing office space and rerouting plumbing and electrical and prison. We are now at a place where we can pull the trigger on getting the contractor started tomorrow.
Very good. Let's hear work on the spread tomorrow. Is there a question? If not, is there a motion?
So moved, Jonathan Wilmer.
Moved by Jonathan. Is there a second?
Second, James.
Seconded by the Treasurer. Another shot of questions?
Mentioned we've been working with the Office of Energy Resources to contribute some amount of financing for this project. We're a memorandum of understanding floating around with employers, so hopeful that they agreed to contribute up to about 10% of their construction costs.
Great. Thank you for that. No,
thank them for that.
Corey, would you please conduct the vote?
Of course. All those in favor of approving the engagement of an HVAC contractor and electric heat pump installation for Earl Building located in Providence, namely NextGen, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote and the motion's approved.
Item 12, approval of pre-qualification of Section 106 and State Historic Review Consultants. And for this, Anne, will you please present?
Yes, good morning. This is Anne Berman. So this request is to establish a roster of qualified firms to assist us with certain aspects related to federal and state historic reviews, including making eligibility determinations as required by Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. We are required to complete 106 reviews for a variety of federally funded programs, including the Let's Safe Homes program, as well as a variety of production and preservation programs that come out of HUD, like HOME, HOMARP, Capital Magnet, as well as RISCHARE. In addition, we have to do the state-level historic review for certain state-funded programs like the Building Homes Rhode Island. In July of this year, we issued an RFP for firms qualified to complete Section 106 reviews. It was posted on our website as well as the state's purchasing website. In addition, the RFP was sent by email to over 500 partners, organizations, et cetera. At the end of the day, we received two proposals, each slightly different. And those responses were reviewed according to the scoring criteria. So we are seeking approval to include two firms, the Public Archaeology Laboratory, which is commonly referred to as PAL, and Runyon Historic Associates as that roster for 106 reviews. We are recommending that these two firms appear for a period of 3 years and extend it if determined by staff to be in the best interest of the corporation. And as 106 reviews, as the need for them comes up, we'll engage the firms from the list on an as-needed basis based on the particular project requirements for each project. So. Happy to answer any questions.
And as for some of the other items, would you mind reminding us who was conducting the Section 106 and historic review work for us previously?
The Island Historic.
SHPUB.
SHPUB. Yeah.
SHPUB was doing it.
Yes.
And there's a need for more capacity in-house for this purpose.
Yes, and they basically told us they're not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
They just don't have the staffing in order to be able to do that.
Yep. Makes sense. Other questions?
Other questions from commissioners? I'll make a motion.
By the treasurer, is there a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Second by Steve. One more shot of questions. Hearing none, Corey, will you conduct a vote, please?
Of course. All those in favor of approving the pre-qualification of Section 106 and State Historic Review Consultants as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion is approved.
Okay. Item 13, approval of engagement of Public Finance Council. And for this additional item pertaining to council, Corey, would you present?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the second of the two outside council engagements that we are requesting board approval for this month. This one is for Public Finance Council, more specifically for Issuers Council and for Bond Council. We have not engaged for Public Finance Council, I believe, since 2018, and we're approaching turnover of our existing agreements later this year. We received five excellent proposals in response to our RFP. The proposals were reviewed by a selection committee drawn from finance and development staff, executive leadership, and two attorneys from my team. We spoke to references for all of the firms, and the top scoring firms came in for interviews. All of the firms were well qualified, though the firms did range in terms of the size of their public finance programs, the depth of their tax capabilities, and their experience in particular with New England HSAs. The firms that we are proposing for engagement today would be engaged in keeping with their proposed pricing, which again, we've obtained certifications from those firms that pricing is their best available for public sector clients. The firms that we're putting before you for approval are Locklord as Issuers Counsel, QTAC Rock for Single Family Bond Counsel, and Hawkins, Delfield, and Wood for Multifamily Bond Counsel. These are all three re-engagements. The three firms have significant history and experience with Rhode Island Housing, and we have been very pleased with the service over the years. As I mentioned earlier, with Locklord merging with Troutman Pepper, they are expected to become Troutman Pepper Lock, and the action before you includes that the Locklord engagement may be assumed by the new firm if it meets your approval. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them. If they are relating more to the public finance side, I will happily punt them to Karen.
Thank you once again, Corey. Are there questions? Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved. John Palmer.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sarah. There's a second from Sarah. Hearing, are there any further questions? Hearing none, Corey, would you conduct the vote on this item?
Yes. All those in favor of approving the engagement of Public Finance Council as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote. The motion is approved, and I want to thank you very much.
Thank you for all your work on that and your team.
All right. We're on to Action 14, Approval of Delegation of Corporate Authority. And, Corey, my recollection is that we're going to have a mini-series of these. Do you want to explain what we're doing and explain the item?
Yes. This is Corinne Myers. This is surely the most exciting action of the year. This is a recommendation regarding corporate signatory authority. Staff use this as a housekeeping item that we bring to the board once a year every September. The action is for authorization of designated officers and employees of RI Housing to execute and deliver any contracts, documents, instruments which may be entered into by Rhode Island Housing under its enabling legislation. This particular designation authorizes the chair, vice chair, executive director or her designee, the deputy executive director and the chief financial officer to sign on behalf of the corporation. And this designation will supersede the previous designation which was given by the board in September 2023. We are not proposing to change any of the authorized individuals today. Our goal is simply to review and renew to allow for any changes in titles, reorganization of functions that may occur over the course of the year, but there are no substantive changes being put before the board this morning. As the chair mentioned, we're going to be convening two of our nonprofit subsidiaries after this meeting, and we'll be going through this exercise for those subsidiaries as well. So you'll see similar actions on those agendas. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have on this very exciting item.
Questions on the delegation of corporate authority?
Thank you.
Hearing none, is there a motion?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Sarah is seconded. Anyone want a clarification of any kind? Hearing none. Corey, would you take the vote?
Thank you. All those in favor of the approval of delegation of corporate authority as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, say nay. We have six affirmative votes, and the motion is approved. Thank you.
All right. This is Action 15, which is approval of appointment of the MERS corporate signing officers. And Peter, would you please present on this item?
Good morning. This RFA is for the appointment of MERS corporate signing officers. MERS stands for Mortgage Electronic Registration Systems. It's an online repository which tracks mortgage servicing rights and ownership across the country. We became a MERS member in 2016. And each year, we obtain a corporate resolution for MERS, which certain Rhode Island Housing employees are designated as MERS signing officers. As part of that designation, we are granted limited authority to perform certain functions, most notably mortgage discharges. We believe it is prudent to update annually corporate signatory authority and to allow for changes in the event of staffing and reorganization. We ask that the Chief Financial Officer, the Assistant Deputy Director for Loan Servicing, the Assistant Director of Loan Servicing, the Director of Home Ownership, and the Assistant Directors of Home Ownership, once again, are granted MERS corporate signing.
Thank you. One quick question, just Peter. Of course, Carol retains signing authority in the midst of all of that anyway.
Correct.
Great. Any other questions? Hearing none, is there a motion on the MERS item?
So moved. Jonathan Wilmer.
Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Any further questions? Corey, you've got the vote, please.
Happy to. All those in favor of approving the appointment of MERS corporate signing officers as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 votes in the affirmative. The motion's approved. Thank you.
I want to check with you, Carol, and you, Corey, that there's no further items of business on the main agenda for Mothership Corporation.
That's right. Correct.
Good. So I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and then as we explained before, we're going to have a couple of other brief meetings that follow this. So, thank you very much. The Treasurer made the motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Any comments on that? Hearing none. Corey, would you enable us to vote?
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
You opposed, say nay. Unanimous vote to adjourn. Thank you.
So, we'll take a brief break.
2 minutes.
Go ahead, please.
So, please stop the recording and we'll start recording again in 2 minutes.
Perfect. 2 minutes. Thank you so much, Carol.